Happy 250th birthday, America. I've decided to spend this semi-quincentennial as our founding fathers would have wanted me to, checking out the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, I know I can find everything from ultra-comfy power reclining sofas with genuine leather seats and stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage to best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving, charging storage, and those signature Bobopedic seats. Because nothing is more American than a sofa that's a bed and a library and a closet. So, if you want to join me in decking out your house with the finest affordable furniture this 4th of July, why not stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
The days are longer, the calendar's filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grooms. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber. So I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing. They're easy to toss in my bag on the go. Plus, they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA FSA eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grooms.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's a laptop. It didn't sound that great, so I hope I'm sounding better today.
Yeah, you're good. You're good. You're good.
Okay, good. And now I put the hat on. I put the Carolina hat on, but is that because
I like that.
Too much of a shadow on
my
face?
No, you're good. You're good. You're good. You're good. I like that.
All right.
Here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome. This is Tar Heel 24/7 UNC Basketball Podcast. Make sure to like, share, and subscribe to the Tar Heel 24/7 channel on YouTube and to subscribe to the podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast at. Want to welcome in today UNC great NBA champion, Scott Williams. I call him coach because he was my coach in my younger days in the NBA. That was a crazy year, by the way. So, you know, we talked about that before. First off, you know, you called games, you know, for ESPN. Kind of how was your year? What are your initial thoughts on college basketball as a whole?
You know, hey, John, first of all, great to see you. Thank you for having me on. Got a chance to see Chris Middleton last night from that Bucks team back in 2003-04, where we were god-awful.
Yes, we were.
But the relationship with you and with Chris and Giannis, I still hold dear to my heart today because you guys were my three hardest working dudes. Always appreciate it, how hard. Even though we only won 15 games, you guys brought it every day.
Sure.
So I always appreciated that. But to answer your question, yes, I was with the ESPN College Basketball. I did primarily all ACC basketball games this year, although I never made it to Chapel Hill, unfortunately. But I had a blast in the ACC. I was, you know, with Miami early on, a lot of Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech games. Went up to South Bend, Indiana for Notre Dame. So I was, you know, even Boston College. I was all over the ACC this year, and I enjoyed it. It brought back so many memories from having played in the ACC. Back when we only had 8 teams, you know, you only played 14 games back then. But it was fun. I really enjoyed my time going down to Florida State for the first time. Not in the ACC, but they sent me to Albuquerque in the NIT to the Pit for the first time. So I really enjoy college basketball. I love college basketball. I think there's no better basketball for a fan experience than having the band, the cheerleaders, the student body, the alumni, you know, everybody getting so excited about their team, the prospect for the season, when they're having a great season, they're kind of crying in their beer when they're not having such a good go. But it's a special time in my life being in Chapel Hill, being at Carolina, remembering those. We had more highs than we had lows, but we had a few lows, and I truly enjoy when those emotions come flooding back. The business of basketball on the other side is a very tough business, as you know. It's a great game, but it is a tough business.
Yeah, it is. The business of basketball is tough, but you know, it gives me kind of hope because you know, we talk about the NBA and how the tanking and guys aren't playing, but in college, listen, yeah, it's not NBA money, but these guys are getting paid a lot of money and they're playing hard. They're putting their heart on the line. They're like every game you see, it seems like it matters. Guys are crying. And, you know, so I think that's awesome for the state of college basketball. And if NBA isn't careful, I'm not trying to say they're going to not leapfrog or anything, but if college basketball continues to be this pro model, it might be a battle eventually. What do you think about that?
There's no doubt about it. And mm-hmm. and you're getting now older players coming mm-hmm. into, you know, premier programs that instead of just a 17, 18-year-old kid or maybe even a 19, you know, you're seeing guys like Tez the Ritter at Virginia coming into the league at, what, 23, 24 years old. So they're, the talent is what I'm saying is elevated more than it used to be. There's not as the developmental piece that there used to be to a 17, 18-year-old kid. You're getting guys that have played and had a lot of experience playing overseas in some international competition. So it's a higher level of competition that we're seeing without a doubt. I mean, the kids at Michigan, first of all, let me tip my hat to the Wolverines. Yeah. I mean, they were fantastic all season long, and they paid it off with the national championship. So congratulations, Big Blue Nation. But, yeah, there could be a little bit of a shift. There's always going to be more talent at the pro game. Like I said, I had a chance to watch the Mavs play the Suns last night. The two so teams good. That are banged up in the Mavs, I don't know, maybe they're tanking, maybe they're not. But it was a competitive game. I mean, they sat Cooper Flagg down the stretch, and they were right there with a one-possession game with 47 seconds to play. So there's still some high drama in the NBA in some of these games. Now, if you talk about the Wizards and some of the other teams, maybe not so much. But I still enjoy being at a game in that arena, feeling that electricity. That feeling never gets old.
Yeah, when I shift to watch NBA in college, kind of before we get to the UNC Hire and Malone, everything, NBA players are really good. That's another thing. Like, when you sit there and watch the difference, I mean, one through NBA players, even from my time in the NBA to now, like, the level of skill and versatility you have to have, I mean, sometimes it shocks me. Like, a guy coming off the bench doesn't even play, can go get 20. Like, that's where we're at right now in basketball.
Yeah, I'm watching Bagley, a third out there, knocking in triples. He might have hit three or four triples yesterday. I was like, when did he develop that skill in the last 12 years? Like, the game it certainly has evolved. I mean, that guy was pretty much considered a bust, and he had a fantastic game. The speed and quickness and power and precision, not always precision, but a good time. You know, the good teams, when they know how to execute properly, it's a pretty game to watch still. Yes. I wish they wouldn't shoot as many triples. Sometimes I don't like going to the game watching 90 triples go up between the two teams, but I do appreciate the athleticism and speed of the game, especially when you're sitting on the wood like I had, you know, opportunity to do yesterday. You can really feel the power and energy and quickness in which these guys play, and that's always cool to watch. And I think that's one thing you always miss at the pro level, because the NBA gets a chance to pick, you know, whatever it is, 48 or 50 of the best, 56 of the best players. Yep. Every year, right? Or 60, I guess it is. Come on, do the math, Williams. So it's the cream of the crop coming in year after year. So I think they're always going to be, at least for the time going, I would say probably another decade, they're always going to have the best talent.
For sure. All right, moving on.
Parles-tu français?
Hablas español?
Parle italiano.
If you've used Babbel, you would. Babbel's conversation-based technique teaches you useful words and phrases to get you speaking quickly about the things you actually talk about in the real world. With lessons handcrafted by over 200 language experts and voiced by real native speakers, Babbel is like having a private tutor in your pocket. Start speaking with Babbel today. Get up to 55% off your Babbel subscription right now at babbel.com/listen. Spelled babbel.com/listen. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Elephant in the room. What are your initial thoughts of the Mike Malone hire? Did Carolina get it right?
Well, listen, I know Mike Malone a little bit from my time having been with the Cleveland Cavaliers. I played for his father for a hot minute after they let go of Paul Silas, Brendan Malone. May he rest peacefully. But, you know, I kind of have a sense he was an assistant coach. under Mike Brown, but I was doing television for the team for 2 years with LeBron and Coach Brown and Mike Malone. So I was around those guys in shoot-arounds and practices and got to see how he worked with players. And as an assistant, it's a little different than being the head coach, as you know. You're doing a little more developmental stuff. You're getting in there early. You're working with guys. You're interacting with guys. You're getting to know their what makes them click, what buttons to push to try to turn guys in from wanting sometimes not always being 100% to want to put in the effort to try to push that button because, you know, they're tired. You know, it's a long season. It's a grind. You try a lot of travel, playing three games in 4 nights. Sometimes you come back and you just need a guy that maybe is not getting as many minutes, maybe get a little frustrated. So you're kind of like a psychologist and a trainer at the same time. So I got to see him work with those young guys and develop some of those young guys on those Cavs teams. And heck, within a couple of years, they were playing in the NBA Finals. Now, LeBron James had a lot to do with that. Yeah. I say that, you know, Mike's responsible for all of his development, but it's certainly part of that system. So he knew what it took right away, being around basketball from his father, was one of those Detroit Pistons coaching staffs. He's lived and breathed. He's the son of a coach. So yeah. I think he's been, even though he hasn't been exposed to the college game per se as a head coach, a lot of the things you learn as an assistant coach will help him if he has younger players on his squad. And I know you've already lost like seven dudes to the portal. Yeah. And I'm not, you're going to go out and get freshmen to replace those guys. Nobody does. Look what Jay Lucas did down in Miami. He brought in some vets, right? He brought in fourth year guys and grad students. And they were fantastic this year. He did a wonderful job turning that program around in 1 year. I mean, they won six games last year. And then they turned around when they're top three in the ACC. So whether Mike can do that, I'm not 100% sure, but I know his time as an assistant developing guys will help him with some of the younger players that, you know, I say, well, you had pros in the NBA, but he did. He worked with younger players in the league as well, so that'll help him.
Yeah, I hear a lot about, you know, maybe he's not the necessarily a guy that players like are jumping for joy as far as he's maybe a little harder on his guys. But I come from that era where, like, I mean, my high school coach was a hard ass. Coach Williams didn't play, right? Like, you know, so it's when I hear that, I laugh because I'm like, listen, man, that sometimes that's people's coaching style. I mean, listen, Patino, right? He's on his players hard and heavy, and guess what? I bet you they're giving him a hug. They've had the best 2 year run they've ever had in their basketball lives. So, you know, I like that. I hear all good things about basketball. Look, coach's style is a coach's style, and as you know, in the NBA, we've been through it. We were together, you know. Sometimes players don't like certain coaches and the way they coach, but you have to get used to it. I think at the college level, you know, personality is more. His personality could fit more, I think, with maybe a younger, like you said, developmental type of player, or, you know, recruit.
Well, to piggyback on what you just said, John, I got a chance to talk to Popeye Jones. And Popeye was an assistant for Mike in Denver, he said, for 3 years. And he came up to me and brought up Mike. He said, you're going to love the guy. He says he works dudes hard, but guys will respect the effort. And because he works as hard as he's pushing his players. And I thought that was kind of cool of Pop to come over and say that to me, you know, kind of out of the blue. We weren't talking about Carolina basketball, but he thought of enough of Mike Malone to come over and share his thoughts on how he was going to do at Carolina. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Do you think MJ shot out a text, hey, welcome to UNC? Do you think MJ was anywhere near involved, phone call, listening, anywhere involved in the...
Are you really buying a car online on AutoTrader right now?
Really? I can get super specific with dealer listings and see cars based on my budget.
Mom! You can really have it delivered.
Or pick it up.
Mommy, look!
I think your kid is walking up the slide.
Really?
AutoTrader. Buy your car online. Really?
Hiring process or maybe advice or anything of that nature, being as you know him obviously a lot better than a lot of guys.
You know what? This is the funniest thing that it never dawned on me to weigh in with Mike to get kind of his opinion on what he could do. Because I just think he's always can kind of, yes, I like to support the team, obviously, with my shoes and my gear and my brand. But I've never really known him to meddle too much into the who that they're going to hire. Like, even after Coach Williams left, it was kind of a foregone conclusion that they were going to elevate Hubert, into that seat. And since I brought up Hubert, but first of all, I was for a change, but I also recognized how much Coach Davis did for Carolina and how much he loved Carolina basketball. And he'll always go down as an all-time great Carolina man. Just for the sole person that he gave me one of my biggest joys with my children in 2002 at the end of the Final Four down in New Orleans when he knocked out Coach K in that championship down there. That was the best moment I had with Benjamin Avon my entire life. So, or at least one of them. And so I always will appreciate the hardworking efforts that he did at Carolina. And I wish him well in the future. I mean, he's so talented. Hell, he could go back to ESPN, do College Game Day like he did before seamlessly without missing a beat. Although I don't know if he's going to, if he'll stay in coaching and or if he was just a Carolina man that's going to sit up next to Coach Williams for the remainder of his days and enjoy Carolina basketball from the seats and the stands. But I wish him well, and I thank him and praise him for all that he did. I played 2 years with Hubert, helped recruit him to North Carolina when he was a scholar. We just thought he was Walter Davis's nephew. What Hubert was going to turn into a fantastic player and a through and through Tar Heel all the way, bleeding blue, till his dying days. I'm sure that there will always be a bond between him and the university. So that's a pretty cool thing. But yeah, your first question about Michael Bell, I should probably weigh in now that you have brought it up to find out what he thinks of Mike.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just always curious because, I love his kind of like, hey, I support. Like, for instance, we saw him in the tunnel my junior year, and he said, look, you guys win this game, get to the Elite Eight or get to the next weekend, I got something for you. And we won, and we came back on Monday, and there were shoes in our lot, like there were Jordan, like, he's in it, and he's a diehard too. So
don't get twisted. The stories you probably heard, or maybe you didn't, might be too young, but back when I was first joining the Bulls, I heard stories that he used to wear his UNC practice shorts under his Chicago Bulls game shorts. And I was like, no way, is this guy still doing that, right? Yeah. But sure below, my locker was right next to him. After he threw on his jock, he slipped on those Carolina practice shorts, right? I was just like, get out now. They were a little ratted, a little torn, probably Killer Ken needed to send him a couple new pairs.
Shout out Killer Ken. He had them all, baby. Shout out Ken, right? Like, a man behind the scenes. And so I think the biz, I wasn't necessarily concerned because – I'm a little younger, I guess, the Carolina gap, bridging the gap and keeping Carolina guys on staff, I knew there would be some type of carryover. That's just how our program is. So kept Sean May, keeps Sully. How do you feel about kind of them keeping those two guys at Hoots as well, kind of bridging the gap, but also bringing in, the new hire, Chuck Martin to the staff? I don't know if you know. Do you know anything about Chuck Martin? First of all,
I don't know. In fact, you're giving me some information that I was unaware of. I heard that he kept several players from the staff, except for Marcus Page, maybe.
Marcus.
Jeff Lebo not on staff with the?
I don't think so. I think he kept Sully and May, and then Hoots, I guess, is in some capacity with the program as well still.
Well, I'm like that they kept some guys from back from – because, really for me, I was very spoiled. Obviously played for Coach Smith, who you missed by a few years, and Coach Williams was an assistant for 2 years, my freshman and sophomore year, and, of course, Bill Guthridge. So it went, kind of Smith, Guthridge, Williams, and then Hubert. So I go back some 55, maybe 65 years that Carolina basketball lineage. So it's nice to have some ties to the program, as you know. It always helps trying to get a couple extra tickets when you come down to the Smith Center, right?
Just to
have that connection to the program. Yeah. And I'm sure I know Mike Malone well enough to know that he's not going to alienate former Tar Heels from the program, especially in the early years. He's going to need us to kind of bridge that gap. And so I'm excited that we'll be able to keep some of that along. I'm glad Sean May. I always loved Sean May. Boy, the run he had to the national championship. Was that 2005?
Yep, 05, yep.
Oh, my
yep.
God, I'm getting such senior moments. But one of the best performances I think I've ever seen, especially in the Final Four, where he was just dominating inside and rebounding the basketball at such a high level. So I'm glad that he's still going to stay on staff and help kind of Mike Malone understand what that is to be yeah. that part of that Carolina family. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, like, so for folks at home, Chuck Martin is known as kind of Calipari's kind of like, I don't want to call it a utility knife, kind of ace in the hole guy. He's a recruiter, high-level recruiter. Just because we're on the subject, we've contacted Carter Knox from Arkansas. Scott, I don't know if you've seen him before, but 6'6", brother Kevin Knox, actually Tampa guys, so they're from where I'm from. I've seen them play a lot. He averaged 8 points as a sophomore, shot 37% from three, so Carter Knox is a good start. He's a good player from Arkansas, so I think he's got to fill out that staff. But you know, to get a guy that's known in the recruiting circles as is kind of a shark, I think is very important. And so my next question to you is kind of what are your expectations per se for Carolina this year? Like, do we just need to be in the mix? We need to be a top 15 team, second weekend team. What are your expectations?
My expectations will be right in the mix. I believe that the turnaround can be quick. Not that to say that, hey, you know, Hubert went undefeated at home. I mean, there's great building blocks. You know, there obviously you're losing a guy like Wilson. You're losing a guy like Trimble. So they give you, you know, both power and inside and experience. But Vesar has still got one more year, I believe. So locking him down, making sure that he doesn't go anything, I think is another key. To keeping the team moving in the right direction, or rebuilding and moving in the right direction. So yes, I think he's going to have to go into that portal. He's going to have to get some experienced players in there that can come in and produce right away. But I don't see that there's any reason why that they could do exactly what I mentioned already, what Jay Lucas did down in Miami. Yep. Getting guys from he got several guys from the Big Ten with got good Big Ten experience. Mm-hmm. And trying and you know, for all the conferences, the SEC, the Big 12, and then just trying to get them to gel together quickly to form that togetherness, the camaraderie that always helps a team kind of be better than the sum of the parts. So, I think he can do that.
Yeah, I would agree that I think, I mean, it's probably a transition is a little easier, right? Because you got 1 year guys are coming in, guys are flipping, guys are coming in. And I mean, you know how NBA goes. People don't realize, like, you got 9 days to get your team together when your preseason game starts. So he's probably loving how much he get months and months of his team before he has to put a product on the floor. So give me a grade. Give me a grade. Grade for the hire.
Hey, parents, we all know summer break is for fun, but it's also a time when kids can start losing some of the progress they made during the school year. We want them to stay engaged and keep those young minds active. Between camps, vacations, and family time, it can be tough to keep a learning routine going. That's why I want to tell you about IXL. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's an easy way to keep learning going through the summer and helps kids feel confident heading into the next school year. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. And get this, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. That's a huge endorsement. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
A grade for the hire? First of all, it kind of caught me a little off guard, a little surprised. I didn't know Mike Malone was going to want to go from, you know, coaching an NBA championship to a couple of years ago with the Denver Nuggets to, you know, coaching at Carolina. There's going to be some wait and see. But I think it's a solid B, maybe even a B+. You get a guy with experience, NBA experience coming in. It's not an unknown. It's not a young person. He's the son of a coach. I think those are all good things to help him move to the right direction. So It was a little bit out of left field. They didn't see that one coming. We were talking about some other college guys, you know, Dusty May or trying to get Tommy Lloyd. I mean, those were the names we heard slung around quite a bit. But those guys had programs. You know, they built their programs. I could see them staying where they wanted to be. So I think what the Brain Trust did at Carolina was a solid B, not a B plus.
I that's why you're my guy. I gave it a B plus too. I gave it a B plus. I like what they did for what they had. Right, they didn't get their top guys. I still think they got a tier one guy, and so you know I'm not mad at it. One more question though, how do you feel about the arena? New, old, renovate? What are your thoughts on that? This is a bonus question. It just popped in my head. Like, let me ask Mr. Scott Williams.
Well, you know, I've always got special fond moments of walking mm-hmm. out of that tunnel at the Smith Center. And to me, that will always be the home of Carolina basketball. I understand the need to try to go get some sky boxes or produce maybe a place that's a little more friendly to supporting other types of venues or, yeah. or entertainment. They're not venues, but entertainment. And it just kind of makes my palms sweat a little bit, right? When I go back to Chapel Hill, I want to go to the Dean Smith Center to see a game. That's a coach I played for. I was the first class. Our 86-87 class was the first class to play their entire career at the Smith Center. So that I mean, that's going back, what I do the math on that, 40 years almost now?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's been home. It's kind of like, that's like your childhood home. You know, so
I agree. It's
you got those special fond moments, memories to it. I would hope that they would do renovations if they could do renovations in a way that made sense and not just do it, you know, spend a bunch of money to keep the building there. You know, there's not much change here. I don't see why they did that. If they can't do that and they want to make a change, all right, go build another building, make it spectacular.
Yeah, I agree. So, I mean, if you can keep it within, you know, if you keep the D-Nome and renovate it, make it nice, sure. I just wonder, would they play in Greensboro? Where would they play? I don't think they would play in Raleigh. They wouldn't play at the Lenovo Center.
So, hey, maybe they go small. Maybe they go small and they go back to the where the ladies play. I'm drawing.
That's what I said. But then they were like, hey, look, there's no way that venue could house what was needed to be done for a Carolina basketball game.
Well, I played in there. You know what Duke's done at Cameron Indoor? That's 10,000. That's 10,000 people in there. That's one of the best venues of college basketball. So sometimes going small is not a bad thing. Was that the Pit in Albuquerque? They get about 10,000, 12,000 in there. That place was rocking and rolling for NIT games. Yeah. Well, they're playing Sam Houston State, and they got 9,000 people in there going crazy because it's just part of what makes college basketball so special. It's not the amount of people. It's the energy in the building, I think, that which gives college basketball all of what makes it so special.
We were the last team to play. I was the last team to play in Carmichael. We played William and Mary, I think, in the first round of NIT to kind of have a more intimate setting. And I thought it was pretty cool. It was pretty fun to play in there and just a little more intimate for the crowd. So, look, thank you for coming on. I appreciate you as always. Good seeing you. Good chatting with you. One of my favorite people and coaches I've ever had. We looked at
each other. You're too kind, John. You're one of my favorite players at Milwaukee. I actually even put on my Milwaukee my polo just because I knew I was coming on with you. I don't wear this thing very much anymore. First of all, it doesn't fit. I got too bad.
All right, man. Appreciate you, man.
Always enjoyed my special people there. Not so much the wins and the losses, but just certainly with you and Chris and Giannis.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it, man. As always, thank you for watching on YouTube and listening wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to check out TarHill247.com for the latest wall-to-wall covers of Carolina athletics. Also, if you like what you're hearing, make sure to get the latest on the coaching find now. It's not a search. The coaching find and the transfer portal updates as the window opens and has been opened by subscribing to Tar Heel 24/7. Message boards are on fire. You don't want to miss it. You want to know what's going on. That's Tar Heel247.com for the latest on all things Carolina hoops.
Everything has to come to an end. now streaming only on Paramount Plus. The acclaimed series, The Chi, reaches its final chapter.
We from Chicago. It's my home.
From Emmy Award winner Lena Waithe.
There are two types of people in this world. Those that reach for more and those that just enjoy what they got.
This The Chi. Anything's possible.
Singing this song to you.
The Chi, the final season now streaming only on Paramount Plus.